So tonight, we have the privilege tonight of having a brother who is representing with Sunrise Children's Services. His name's Terry Frazier, and I'm not going to tell you all about him. I'm going to let him talk. But like I've told you before, a lot of us don't realize that we as Southern Baptists, as Kentucky Baptists, as members of Eastwood, we support an adoption and foster ministry right here in our own backyard, okay? And so Terry is here to tell us about that, and he's got all sorts of information for us. This is a very important topic for us to think about. And so without further ado, Terry, come on up here, brother.
Well, it's good to see you guys tonight. I've never had a chance to come into your facility, and it is gorgeous. How many of you know that you are blessed, right? Really, I was standing back there a minute ago with my mask on, and I was folks were coming in. I like to talk, and so I was talking to some folks, and I think maybe they thought I was a member here for years, Pastor Ben. I was like, I don't even know where the water fountain is, you know. But it's good to chat with them. Thank you for having us. As Pastor Ben was saying a moment ago, we are with Sunrise Children's Services, and I'll tell you a little bit tonight about who they are and what we do and the ministry that we try to accomplish. But we can't do it alone. So Pastor Ben says I only have about 2 hours, so I'm gonna try to hurry. All right, if that don't get you woke up, nothing will. But before we even begin tonight, guys, before we even begin, I want to share with you a couple of things. A question or two, really. Do you agree with this statement? It's in yellow because that means it's important. Everybody knows that if it's a different color, it's important, right? The only scripture that you believe is the scripture that you obey. Let that sink in just a second. If that were true, and is it true? The only scripture that you believe, that you truly believe, is the scripture that you obey. And have you ever heard these words? And I'll give you a hint, they're in the Bible. James 1:22, the book of James, great book. It's in a good book, by the way. That's why they call it that, the good book. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Be doers of the word and not hearers only. So if you take those first two statements and I ask you the question, do you agree with those statements? Do you check the box that shows that you agree with those statements, right? The only scripture I believe is the scripture I obey. How does that change your life? And I want to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You see, the fact of the matter is that we can come here every week, right? You can come here every service and listen to Pastor Ben and listen to your other ministers teach you and off from the word of God and all those things. And you can listen to the word and listen to the word and listen to the word. And you can leave here with a mind full of knowledge. But until that knowledge of the Lord's word gets from here and here down to here, nothing's really going to change much. You need to put feet to your faith, right? So we need to determine, do we agree with that? I do. And I believe that you do too. The word that you believe, you'll obey, and you want to be active. You want to be able to check that box. Tonight we're going to talk about three quick things, and it's not going to take 2 hours. Don't worry. The who, the why, and the how. The who, the why, and the how. We're going to talk about who Sunrise Children's Services is a little bit, why we do what we do, and how you can take part in that ministry. How you can take part in that ministry. Now, who in this room has heard the name Sunrise Children's Services before? Okay, that is on us. Because truly, like Pastor Ben said, every hand should have went up. That's not on you, that's on us. Because you support us through cooperative dollars and those things that you give through the convention and all that. You help support Sunrise Children's Services already. You already have a Christian-based child care agency, an adoption agency. We're not just about foster care. We're about adoption. And I have a little bit of a connection with that because I was about 4.5 years old. Two folks by the name of Donald and Sue decided they wanted a little boy. They already had a little girl, but they wanted a little boy. And they came and they found me. And I was adopted. I was brought into that family. My sister is much older than I am. She's watching later on the recording. She's much older than me. Now, my sister's older than me. And growing up, people would always ask me. They would say, "Terry, do you feel like that, you know, something's different? Do you feel like, you know, that you was adopted? Is that weird, you know, kind of the adoption question? You were adopted, you know. Is that all right?" I said, "Yeah, it's great with me. It's fantastic with me." You see, I was adopted. My parents chose me. I tell my sister, they picked me. They were stuck with you, you know. Yeah, they actually went and got me, right? So, but I was adopted. In church, friends, I want you to understand this. Let's replace that word tonight before we even get into it. Let's replace it. Let's replace the word adoption with another word, rescue. Rescue. Because if you've adopted someone, maybe somebody here has, you've adopted someone or you're contemplating adopting somebody, you are not just contemplating adding someone else to your family. You are rescuing them from something. I was rescued. Look, I don't know your background, so I got a lot of freedom in that, being a visitor. The foster care home that I came out of 30-something years ago, whatever it was, it's been longer than that now. Golly, I'm getting old. A few years ago, they were members of a different religious faith, and they were we would call it a cult. They were members of a cult and didn't believe Christ was the central, and didn't believe that heaven was the only way to get to heaven was through him and all that. So, but when I came in that home, the home I live in now, well, I lived in, that I was adopted into, I was quoting scripture. As a little kid, like I had it in my head. But man, if I had grown up in that faith system, you know what the word says, right? You know, the only way you get to heaven is through Christ, you know? That's the only way you're going to get there. So I would be lost right now, bound for hell. But thankfully, I was rescued, and I was brought into a family that taught me the Word of God, that took me to church, let me hear it. So I was rescued, and I want you to be about rescue too. I want you to be about rescue as well. So let's just get into it. In 1869, Sunrise Children's Services, a group of ladies at Walnut Street Baptist Church. Let me look around the room. How many of you people ever knew of the WMU? Do y'all still do that here, right? Well, the WMU has been around for a while. It was a group of ladies from the WMU. And it generally was always the more seasoned ladies, is a nice way of putting it, right? Been around a little while. But these little ladies got together, and they decided they want to open up the Louisville Baptist Orphans Home. And for the next 78 years, the home provided shelter, food, education, and care for children across the state of Kentucky, all across the state. Now, it was replaced later on by Spring Meadows facility, a few miles outside of the city, which offered room to serve even more children. Time moves forward. 1915, the Kentucky Baptist opened a large orphanage in Glendale. Anybody been to Glendale? Anybody been to Whistle Stop? All right. Anybody know there's a Dunkin' Donut right there? I travel a lot, and there's a Dunkin' Donut coffee shop right there in that little store. That has nothing to do with this, but I want you to know where the coffee shop is. Okay, so that they opened it up in Glendale in southern Hardin County. In 1956, the Pinecrest Children's Home opened in Moorhead, and these facilities shared a mission for providing children with a loving and supportive environment. Now, church, I want you to know that mission still continues today through Sunrise Children's Services, that we realize there are children in need, children that need help, children that need families, kids that need to be adopted, kids that need to be rescued. And by the way, the terminology I use and I try to always use, and I think we should all use, is it's not those kids. It's not those kids need somebody to help them. I wish somebody would do something for those kids. I wish, what about those kids over there? No, it's our kids. It's our kids. If we change that lingo and we change that in our mind and our hearts to where we talk about children that are in foster care or in need of care to our kids, that changes everything. Who has children or grandchildren in this room, right? Who has grandchildren in this room? Their hands are always a little higher than the other ones, right? Or I have grandchildren. You would do anything, would you not? You would do anything for your grandkids. You would do anything for your kids. You would die for them, I would bet. I know you would. So if we change the terminology and we start thinking about those children as our kids, that changes everything. In the 1980s, Sunrise, then known as the Kentucky Baptist Homes for Children, you might recognize that name a little bit more. That was a little bit more known in the time. They began adapting to the way that children were being served across Kentucky. We offered more counseling services, opened up residential centers in Dixon and Moorhead, and even an emergency shelter in Elizabethtown. You see, the sad truth is that as time goes by, and as that children are still in need of care. You see, that number is not getting smaller. I've been doing this for several years now, and when I started off, it was like we was talking about, you know, 7,000-some kids in the state of Kentucky. Gosh, I think now it's up around 11 or 12,000 kids that are in out-of-home care, meaning they're out of their home and placed somewhere else. So thousands of kids. That number, by the way, is Kentucky, just Kentucky. So that need is growing, and so as that need grows, our services need to continue to grow because we need people to provide for those children, for our kids. Now, in the 1990s, a renewed emphasis on foster care began, and even more facilities and services were being offered across the state for the reasons that I just mentioned. Today, Sunrise is Kentucky's largest nonprofit provider of services for children in crisis. It's just the way it is. We're the biggest. We serve children from 114 of Kentucky's counties. Sunrise has been blessed, and I love this part. I like when there's a screen behind me because I can just turn around and point at it. Sunrise has, that was Sunday morning, I was at a different church, and I was able to do this, and I felt like Vanna White. You know, I could go over here. Sunday morning, I just didn't have anything to spin. But we have been blessed that more than 500 adoptions have came through Sunrise Children's Services. More than 500 now since I did this. Since 2006, that is over 500 children who now have a forever home. 500-plus children who felt hopeless, now have hope. Who didn't know where they were going to, if they were going to have a a bed to sleep in the night now have a bed to sleep in every night. 500 kids whose lives were changed, and if done right, if done like you will do your children, and those children, they're in church, they're hearing the word, they're being taught, right? Their eternities could be changed. I don't have the number here, but that's several children that have accepted Christ. Y'all still use the word saved here, right? Is that okay? I know sometimes you have to change the wording. But saved, delivered from hell, brought into heaven, all because somebody cared for that child and those children enough to love them, make them their own, and then they were coming and hearing the word of God. And they were hearing the word of God. How many people? Look, I don't know if you guys are vocal. I'm one of those full participation kind of guys. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're going to heaven, say out loud even, amen. Okay, if you want your children and grandchildren to know that same Savior, say amen. That's exactly what we want, and there's lots of children that need that, and they might not hear it anywhere else except in your home. So why does foster care exist? I'm going to go through this part kind of quickly, because after this is over, I'm going to be around for a minute, and you're going to have all contact information. You can ask me any question you want. Talk about my family, talk about what I like to eat, but foster care stuff too. You can do all that. Children are victims of abuse. Children are victims of abuse. That's the sad truth, is why foster care exists, why it's even needed, right? And child abuse, right? Child abuse is any mistreatment or neglect of a child that causes them harm. Now, this can include sexual abuse, emotional and physical abuse, and also neglect. I was looking around the room to see how many youth I would have in here, and those two youth won't know what I'm talking about here in a minute anyway, so I'm good, right? The person responsible for the abuse may be a parent, family member, or someone acting as a caregiver or with authority over the child's life. It can include a teacher. It can include a teacher. It can include a coach, or it can even include a religious leader. So child abuse. Also, physical abuse. Physical abuse is the intentional use of physical force to harm a child. Now we think, why would anybody do that? What reason do they possibly have? Well, there is no good reason for that. But the truth is that they do. You have precious children back there, by the way. Awesome. I love the kids. I just can't imagine anybody ever doing anything to hurt one of your kids. And I know you can't. And I love my son. He's 20 now. He's always going to be a baby to me. And I tell you what, I'm a pastor at my church in Glasgow. Worship pastor there. Make a little noise on Sunday mornings with the guitar. Sometimes I get to make noise with preaching. But as much as I love Jesus, if you try to hurt my children, it's going to be hard to tell if I'm lost or saved. Don't hurt my child, right? Physical abuse, the intentional use of force to hurt a child. Emotional and verbal abuse, that's hard. That's a harder one, too. Emotional and verbal abuse, because it happens over time. It happens over time. When I was a kid growing up, there was a commercial that I saw on TV. I've never forgotten it. There was a young man. He was sitting, the commercial was black screen, and this child was sitting, I can't get down, I never get up. He was sitting down on the floor with his head between his knees. And as he was sitting there, all you could hear was this loud voice. I'm going to get loud just a little bit, guys. I don't scare you. And the voice was yelling, "You're worthless," and all this bunch of stuff. And all these insults, hurling them at this child. And that's all they did throughout this whole commercial. I don't know how long it seemed like, forever. Probably just 20 seconds or so. But with every word, that child's head got tucked further and further between his legs. And the last thing that you heard on that commercial, the last thing you heard looking at that child in the dark with that light on him, was, "I wish you were never born." Now, no child deserves to hear those kinds of words. Now, we all have said things that we don't mean in the spur of the moment, haven't we? We all get upset, and, you'll say something, and you'll say something you shouldn't have said, and all the wives in the room said amen, right? But you say something you shouldn't have said, and you wish you didn't say it. But I'm talking about over and over again. It's a recurring thing. That's emotional abuse and verbal abuse. And domestic violence, it can include anyone. Domestic violence can include anyone, no matter the socioeconomic background, the educational level, the race, the age, the sexual orientation, religion, or gender. Domestic violence can include spouses, sexual or dating partners, family members, children, and cohabitants. And then one that we won't go into too deeply tonight is sexual abuse. When you're in training with us, we go into that a lot further. We talk about it in detail and how to help this child, or how to help our kids, how to help our children. But sexual abuse is any act that forces or coerces a child into participating into a sexual activity or activities. Sexual abuse can occur even when a child isn't touched. It doesn't have to be touched to be sexual abuse. Actions that cause sexual arousal in another person as a result of a child's behavior or actions are considered sexual abuse. And the last reason for child care that we're going to talk about tonight is neglect. Children are victims of neglect, physical neglect. That's the failure to provide food, clothing, a shelter, and an inappropriate lack of supervision for the child. And medical neglect. That's the failure to provide necessary medical or mental health treatment. My son that I referenced a moment ago, he's now 20, going on 50. He knows everything, by the way. He has for a long time. He's really intelligent. Since about 3 years old, he's known everything. But, this is free, by the way. I don't charge any extra for anything. I don't charge anyway. But Samuel Longhorn Clemens, who in this room knows who that person is? Who? Mark Twain. Absolutely. He said, the older I get, the smarter my parents were. Think about that. Now, my son's not realized that yet, but as the older, he's like, now he'll say, Dad, you were right. And he says it like that. I don't get that. You were right. Like it was a surprise. Of course I was right, son. I am your father. You know, I know everything. No, I don't know everything. But medical, so I was talking about my son, though. I've got to get back to it. My son is type 1 diabetic. My son's type 1 diabetic. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, he has to have insulin to survive. That's just the way it is, right? And he does well with it. Thank the Lord for insulin. But if I decided, and I have all the faith in the Lord Jesus, I know God can do anything. He's the healer. He's the great physician. I believe all that. But if I decided that I was not going to give my son insulin, and I laid there and watched him suffer, and blood sugar go through the roof, and him unfortunately pass away and die, that's not a lack of God's goodness. That's a lack of my own intelligence. Because the Lord has provided insulin, and the Lord has provided doctors and all those things to help him. So I need to be sure that I'm taking care of him. To do otherwise is medical neglect. And we could talk about educational neglect, not providing the education they need, or providing children that have educational needs the extra help they need. We could talk about emotional neglect. You get the idea. I want to be sure that I use our time wisely. So we'll move on from that, though. Here's what I want you to see, though. Is the next slide is, you see these pictures? You see these pictures here? We have, I'm missing one, that's okay. We have the children here on the left. This is what childhood should look like. This is what children's childhood should look like. You said you had kids and grandkids, and I bet you at one time or another, they've ran. Any of your children ever run? Any of your children ever get loud? Or do they all talk like this? Yes, mother. Yes, father. Thank you. Thank you for providing me with lunch today. You take them to school, and they get out of the car, and they give you a kiss on the cheek, and they say, thank you for my education. I'm learning so much, and it's all because of you, Mom. Right? That happens to you guys. It happens every day, right? It doesn't happen that way, but that's okay. These children, they're really children. They're real children. They're jumping, they're running, they're having fun. And in the bottom, they're hand in hand over here, and they're running down through the grass and all that stuff. And brother, is there a picture on there of a girl holding a young man's hand or older man's hand, showing it all? That's okay then. I had to transfer some things over. And anybody love technology when it works, right? Nobody's fault here. My fault. But we had a picture of a little girl holding a father's hand. But in that picture, imagine for a moment, close your eyes, a little girl about 4 years old, and she's looking up, and she's holding on tightly to the hand of her dad. And they're walking, just walking together. And you've seen that, and you've felt that embrace probably yourself before if you have a child or a grandchild. And you know what it feels like to have that hand, little hand. Remember the babies, the new babies? Remember the new babies? I bet you do back there in the back for sure. Remember when they grabbed that finger? And we all, you know, that first grab, and you're like, oh, they're so strong. Dads were like that, right? Feel my son's grip. Feel it. You know, and he feel of it, and, you know, that kind of thing. But she's holding on to his hand, and she's looking up to him with adoration and love because she cares. Because she knows he's cared for. She knows that he loves her, that he's protecting her, that he's watching out for her. And that's all our kids want. That's all your kids want, is someone to show them they love them, they care for them, they're going to take care of them. They don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow because they are safe in your home. I look around the room, and I see a room full of people that could give them that kind of hope. Now, why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? It just by chance, if you're tired of looking at me, I know, and trust me, I know it can happen. My wife tells me all the time. If you're tired of looking, I said, honey, I'm going to Bowling Green tonight to go speak at Easterwood. Do you want to go with me? No, you go ahead. I see you all the time. So, you know, she loves me just in her own way, right? But so I want to give you a glimpse, though, don't nap, don't fall asleep on me. It's a video. But I want you to get a glimpse into the life of a child who has been removed. This child has been removed from the home. This is not too much of a dramatization. There's some that are a lot worse and some that are not as bad. But watch this video with us, if you would, and I'll come back and we'll finish up. Thank you.
want you so bad. It stops hurting at all. Until something makes you feel again. And then it all comes back. Every word. Every hurt. Every moment. How could you ever understand where I come from? Even if you ask, even if you listen, you do not really hear or see or feel. You don't remember my story. You haven't walked my path. You haven't seen what I've seen. Defines me. This is who I am. I am unseen, unheard, unwanted. That is what I am, if even I am anything. Turned upside down, and order disappeared. Nothing was how it was supposed to be, and a heavy sadness filled my soul. Deeper and deeper I fell within myself. And nothing could draw me out. Trapped in the misery of my life. Lost in the sorrow of my soul. Unable to see the light. unable to see the dawn. To feel. To hope. To dream. And I found the darkest days of my life kept coming. The blackest nights for my soul never stopped. It seemed like it was always nighttime and nightmares, and never morning. And maybe you wonder why, but mostly you try not to think about it, and try to get by, and try to survive. And all the other stuff seems so much like nothing, compared to just wanting the most important things back again. Like wishing you could see your mama smile again, and hear her sing that one favorite song that always calmed you down. When things were all messed up, or if you couldn't have her back, at least get to take care of your baby brother, because you know he needs you, and he's going to be so scared all alone, and who's going to hold his hand and whisper it'll be all right to him, and who will whisper it to me? I know I am helpless, dependent, desperate, but what happens when those you need the most threaten your very existence? I've heard plenty of promises, and they all sound the same. But push hard enough, and sooner or later, they all prove to be empty. The sun comes up every morning, but do you know where? Each place, it's somewhere different. It's hard to find east when you keep moving around. But at least it comes. It always comes. I've come to depend on that. And slowly, slowly seasons changed around me. And it seemed, this time, that maybe the world would not be pulled out from under me again. Feet safe, roots starting to grow, little buds of hope forming, slowly attempting to trust this new life.
Hey, come on over. Let me show you what I got for you. Got you a gift.
Thank you.
miss my past, my history, my story, is not my fault. It's not because of me. And doesn't have to be what defines my future. I am lovable. I am worthy of care. And that glimmer of light, it makes all the difference. The glimmers of light give me hope that someday my summer will come.
Well, that video was not too much of a dramatization, really. It's a picture and an image of what it is to be removed. Children in the home, surrounded by their family and things that they know, their friends, their pets, their loved ones, their stuffed animals and all that. She had a China doll, right? And because of the situation you saw, she was taken from that home. People sometimes give social workers a bad rap, and folks that do what I do. But the thing is, people say, they're kidnappers. Let me tell you this. Some children need to be removed from the home they're in. Some children are in situations where they're getting hurt every night. A child deserves to be safe, deserves to be protected, deserves to be loved, and every child deserves to go to bed at night, to pull the blankets up over their head and turn their light out, and not worry that sometime throughout the night someone else is going to join them. That's the truth. Every child deserves that kind of safety. She said that sometimes someone hurts you so bad it starts hurting at all until something makes you feel good and then it all comes back. Every word, every hurt, every moment. How could you ever understand where I come from? This child and many like her feel like this, that I am unseen, I am unheard, and I am unwanted. We want children to feel like they're wanted. We want them to have a voice, and we want them to feel loved. And that is what you can do. That is what each one of you can do. Life can be scary when you're a child, especially. The world turned upside down. The world turned upside down, and order disappeared. Nothing was as it was supposed to be. For this child and so many more across the state right now, at this moment, in the amount of time that we've been talking tonight, children have been hurt. Children are scared. And children just want someone to help them. She said a heavy sadness filled her soul. It seemed like it was always night, and it was always nightmares. And why wouldn't it, considering where she'd came from? She said, who's going to hold my hand, and who's going to whisper? Who's just going to whisper that it's going to be all right to him? Talking about her little brother who saw her taken care of. And who's going to whisper that it's going to be all right to me? Slowly seasons changed, and it seemed like maybe this time the world would not be pulled out from under me again. You saw that she'd went through a series of foster parents, right? Looked like the first one, by the way, those first one or two, not examples of how to be a foster parent. You don't throw the child in the shower and punish them and those kinds of things. We're not about punishment at Sunrise. We're about helping and correcting. You know, the wrong question that many people ask is, what when a child does something wrong? What in the world's wrong with you? What's your first name, madam?
Christy.
Christy? If I said, Christy, what in the world's wrong with you? That's wrong. If Christy did something we don't understand, like some of our kids do sometimes, right? It's what has happened to Christy to make her act that way. See, if we knew half the background of our kids, that we would understand a little bit more. It doesn't justify it, but it helps us understand why they act and behave the way they do. You saw the broken doll on the floor. Man, that's an example of her and her life at that point. Now, she thought, by the way, that the foster mom was calling them to come and get her. What was the foster mom really doing? Did you watch? calling them, saying, she wasn't calling and say, I give up. She was calling to say, oh, please bring her brother too. I want to do everything I can to help. Would you bring her brother too? She said, that's not my past. That's my past. That's my history. And that's my story. And she's right about this next two things too. It's not my fault. It's not because of me. And it doesn't have to be what defines my future. You see, children right now, they have a life and what looks like a rough road in front of them, what looks like it's never going to get any better. But you know who has the power to change that life? First of all, the Lord God, right? I'm in a church. I can talk about Jesus here. That's all right, isn't it, if I say Jesus? Okay, good. I love it. Sometimes you can't do that in this field. But I'm going to say it today. I'm going to say the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus can do anything. He said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. We can just keep going on and on because it's good stuff. But you know what? You have the ability. You sitting where you are right now. I don't know who you are. I don't know. All I know is one person. You know Christy? I mean, that's it. That's right. It's your name, Christy? So I know Christy. I know Pastor Ben. I think Christy's a nice lady. I'm not sure about Pastor Ben yet. But I know this. I know that everybody in this room has the power to change the life of a child. Jesus did a lot with just a few guys, didn't he? Right? The message version says JC and the guys. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. There's that picture we were looking for earlier. You may feel like you don't have much to offer these children, your children, but you do. You have hope to offer them. You have hope. You say, what's the qualifications? Well, let's just bust through that because I'm going to be here for questions. So some of this next three things, you can ask me afterwards. Be at least 21 years of age. Be a Kentucky resident. It's hard to be a Kentucky foster parent if you live in Louisville or in some other state, excuse me. Be a Kentucky resident. Have a valid Commonwealth Kentucky's driver's license. You may have to go somewhere with your child. Also, have reliable transportation and active automobile insurance. This is just the qualifications. Be mentally and physically able to care for a child, for children. Husbands, your wife will have to write a written testimony saying you're mentally stable. No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't happen. You'll go to the doctor and they'll give you a physical. That's all it is, right? Own or rent a home that's safe from hazards. You don't have to own your home. You don't have to live in a mansion. You just have to have room for a child in your home and a place for their things. A safe, clean, free from hazard environment. I've seen people have mansions and they're gorgeous. I've seen people have their bedroom, the child's bedroom, a clean, safe place, and that child grew up happy. Look at that old country song, Love Grows Best in Little Places, something like that. Y'all ever heard that song? That's all you have to have. You need to complete criminals and background checks. That needs to be done. It was done for everybody that works with them. You're going to be working with children, right? So it's obviously, and we'll pay for that for you. You just have to go get it done. If you're married, you have been married and continuously married to and living as a family with your current spouse for a minimum of 1 year. Right? You can start training before that's over, that first year, if you want to. You just can't be certified until you've been married a year. Okay? Cohabitating couples, well, they're not permitted. You can, three ways to serve. I'm going to be quick. Foster to adopt, which is exciting. You bring a child into your home and they become your child forever. All the same training. Everything's the same, but you're fostering to adopt. So you become a foster parent that's with the intention of adopting this child. Everybody's working toward that goal. And the end result is you have a child living with you forever and ever, or however long that is. They may live with you forever. My son's 21 almost. But they'll live with you for a long time. And they're just as if they were born to you. You have a child. Now, foster full time. That makes sense. It's just what exactly it says. You foster, the child stays with you full time, day and night, lives with you. That's their home. You're their family. Now, respite foster parenting is very needed. You give a break to the full-time foster parent. Cases of emergencies, they have some surgery, something happens, that child has to have a place to go. So you would be one of our respite parents. You would get a call from time to time, and they would ask you, could you do it this weekend, maybe the next few days? You would say yes or no, right? And then that child will come with you and live with you for those few days. You get the same training. We want everybody to be trained, right? You want to be trained, trust me. And you would be a lifesaver to those children. So full-time foster parent, respite foster parent, or foster to adopt. Here's the truth. All these kids we talked about tonight, these little hands right here, right, the messy hands, those little hands, they need your big hands. They need your big hands. And Sunrise Children's Services will do everything we can to make sure that you have the training that you need to help that child cope, to help that child grow, to help that child become everything God wants that child to be. You see, everyone can do something. Everyone can do something. You can do something. And if I had a marker, I'd write it in for you right here. What will you do?